above the angels, he says, know the song. He makes his angels winds and his servants flames of fire. The Messiah to come, foretold by the psalmist, will have servants from the angels. But to his son, he says, God, unequivocally, God, your throne shall last forever and ever. And again, his royal scepter is the scepter of virtue. Virtue, you love as much as you hate wickedness. This is why God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above all your rivals. And again, it is you, Lord, who laid earth's foundation in the beginning. The heavens are the work of your hands. All will vanish, though you remain. All wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a cloak, and like a garment, they will be changed. But yourself, you never change, and your years are unending. The Messiah will never change. The years of the Messiah, God, to come into the world as man, his years will never end. Says Paul, God never said to any angel, sit at my right hand, and I will make your enemies a footstool for you. Remember from the Gospels, Christ appealed to these royal psalms to verify his claim, the Father and I are one. That's the test of the Christian faith. Whether a person believes or not that the Son of Mary, whom she conceived and carried for 9 months and gave birth to in Bethlehem, is her God. We have one more set of reflections to make on the Psalms as prophecies of Jesus Christ. These are the Psalms of the kingship of Yahweh. Even as the royal Psalms foretold the endless, eternal duration of the kingship of the Messiah. has never heard the angel tell her. And his kingdom will be without end. So the Psalms predicting the kingship of Yahweh foretell the universality of God's kingdom. That is why when people ask me, and understandably, and I sympathize with them, when you read the book of Revelation, all the terrible things that St. John, under divine inspiration, was foretelling would come before the end of the world, don't you think that the end of the world is near at hand? And as you know, not a few whole churches, denominations have come into existence, expecting an early second coming of Christ. I don't hesitate a moment. No. We haven't even finished 2,000 years. Remember what we're told about 1,000 years being like a day with God. So in the divine mathematics, Christianity is exactly, well, not even, 2 days old. Why do I say this with so much confidence? Because of what we're going to briefly reflect on now. God became man in order to save the world from sin, reconcile a fallen mankind with the offended divine majesty. But given human nature, what a statement. Given human nature with its stubborn free will. And secondly, given human nature with its natural laziness. For the gospel to be proclaimed to the whole human race, now numbering this year, we passed the 5 billion mark. This will take time. The kingship of Yahweh, meant to establish God's peace throughout the world, will, in my humble estimation, still take at least centuries, not to say millennia, to be achieved. These Psalms of the kingship of Yahweh foretell the universality of the kingdom of God, who, having become man, and by dying on the cross, redeemed mankind from sin, But then, human beings must appropriate the grace which Christ merited on the cross. And having received the grace, what is even more demanding, must cooperate with that grace. What is the formula, the divinely instituted formula for extending the kingship of Yahweh throughout the world through the Messiah? It is through bringing peace into the world. That's why the angels on Christmas morning had no choice. They were told what to say. Peace on earth. And this is the only correct translation. Peace on earth to men of goodwill. Let's follow the divine logic on how this universality of the kingship of God through the person of Christ is to be achieved. The foundation for the peace that God became man to give mankind, the foundation of that peace is the forgiveness of sins. Where there is sin, there can be no peace. Pseudo peace, yes. Apparent peace, yes. And remember, Christ himself distinguished. What a distinction. The peace that I come to give you is not the peace that the world gives. Are we clear? The peace that the world gives is conformity to the philosophy of the world. Not only will the world not bother you or disturb you, not only will you meet with no opposition, not to say persecution from the world, provided, what a terrifying proviso, provided you conform to the world. As we close our meditations on the Old Testament as the ground of our spiritual life, let's make sure we know what we believe. Or you can be accepted. You can be praised and honored. To use a sacred term, you can be canonized by the world on one condition. Conform to the world. What then is the foundation for this kingship of Yahweh? It is the peace that only God himself could provide. because only he, the offended God, can forgive a sinful world. The essence of peace, the heart of peace, is the possession of God's grace, the friendship with God, and the absence of sin. Where there is sin, there cannot be peace. That's the foundation. In the degree to which individuals are conformed to the will of God, have been forgiven their sins, and possess that peace which Christ alone can provide. Where there is no enmity between man and God, that is the definition of peace, God's own definition. Where my will is conformed to the divine will. Nobody says this is easy. All we're saying, and we better say it, that is the only basis for true peace. Once, however, the individual soul, my soul, is conformed to the divine will, where my sins have been forgiven, and I trust in God's mercy, revealed to me in Christ's death on the cross, then, all my faculties, my human powers, are also at peace. I have to say this. These faculties of mine may be in pain, but so what? The important thing is, are they at peace? And then, but only then, if the individual soul is at peace with God, and within that soul, the powers of mind and will, the appetites of the body, are in harmony, or the churches define peace, there is tranquility of order, then, and only then, will I be at peace with other people. Took me almost 40 years in the priesthood to learn that. It was worth learning. The only peaceable people at peace with others are peaceful people within whom there is this tranquility of order because their wills are conformed to the will of God. All of this we believe. It is all spelled out in psalm after psalm, which then the inspired writers of the New Testament, dipping into the messianic psalms of the old law, reveal for all the world to see how the Messiah foretold in the old covenant really came, was really born, is really alive today, and his followers, thank God, now numbered in the millions, for whom? And let's say a prayer for the Jewish people throughout the world. Unlike them, who every time they pray in their synagogues, every time they pray, they ask, "Come, O come, the promise of Israel. Do not tarry, do not delay, come." One of my great joys as a priest has been instructing and baptizing Jewish converts, the latest, exactly a week ago today. I called her up last night, thrilled that she has found the one for whom she had been praying for so long. Jesus, Son of David, Son of Mary, Son of God, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.